You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Earlier this week, Wendy Peterson and Beatrice Osario spoke to Red Eye Collective member Esther Sia about a targeted attack against them, and here now is that interview.
Wendy Peterson is a longtime resident of the downtown East Side and a passionate, well-respected housing advocate for her neighborhood. We've had her in as a guest many times here on Red Eye as an inspirational voice for justice. Like all activists, she has ruffled a few feathers. But recently, one of her opponents took it to a dangerous level. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in the Bean Around the World coffee shop, a few blocks away from our station here in the downtown East Side. I was interviewing Wendy Peterson, Beatrice Osario, and one other colleague on their recent victory to bring bus services back to the Oppenheimer District for the Carnegie Newsletter. Wendy and Beatrice are in studio with me here. Beatrice, what happened at that cafe?
Hi, Esther. Thanks for having me here today. What happened a particular day is that we were celebrating the return of the bus to Powell Street, and we were just at the bus stop on Powell taking some pictures as a momentum, and then we decided to go for coffee. And we entered the coffee place and went inside, sat in a little patio they have inside, and we were there just, you know, talking, and when all of a sudden the manager of the York Rooms storms inside the cafe and storms inside the little patio, and he grabs one of the signs that we had and he breaks it into pieces. And he was behaving in a very violent, if you will, way. He was very excited, overly excited, and so excited that he didn't even took the time to realize that the sign or our presence there had nothing to do with the York Rooms, but rather with the bus. And he took he acted with such a violence that he grabbed the wood that was holding the sign, and he went outside and threw the piece of wood across the street, and it landed just there across the street. So you can imagine, you know, the strength, you know, and the anger that you have in order to do that. It all happened very, very suddenly, and in a short period of time. I was totally shocked, and I was very scared, because you can tell that this was a person volatile and, if you will, out of control. And we were all women. We were four women, and he took aim particularly at Wendy. I saw him pushing her, and I didn't know what to do, because the patio itself is kind of boxed in, and he was kind of blocking the door, the only exit to the small space. I also was worrying for the coffee manager, a young girl that was taking care of the coffee place, because I can see that she was totally terrified, and that's pretty much what happened. The manager of the York was with his girlfriend, and she came first, and I watched her, and it was my guess that she took a look that there were no men, and when that was the case, he came in like storming, and it was very, very traumatizing, especially for Wendy. I felt deeply for her and the girls, and very, very saddened and uncalled for, because we were peaceful people, except for you that were there to report the event. All of us are well over 40, so we're both no threat to anyone. So that's what happened.
And Wendy, can you explain a little bit about the York Hotel and what relevance that has?
So the York Hotel was right above this cafe that Beatrice was talking about, and the York Hotel is owned by a man named Stephen Lippman, and he is a serial reno victor in the downtown East Side. He has converted six other buildings into, and now this is the seventh, the York is the seventh hotel that he has converted from a low-income hotel that rents to people on welfare and old-age pension to more of a working poor or student residence where the rents are up in the range of $600. So where rents used to be $375, now his buildings rent for $600 a month. And the York Hotel is the seventh building that he's in the process of converting. And he has hired this man who accosted us in the cafe to live there. And, I mean, I feel bad for the people who live there because this is who they're dealing with. Somebody who knows how to put pressure on people. There are anywhere between 10 and 15 rooms empty in the York Hotel right now. And those rooms will be rented. They have a fancy website that says they are character residences, artistic residences. They're being geared to people who don't live in the neighborhood and who can afford to pay $600 a month.
You also spoke out about that at a press conference just a few days before the attack happened.
You're right. So with the Pivot Legal Society, we're talking about the evictions that are happening right now. And there was a tenant there who was speaking, who lives in the York Hotel, and who was testifying to the amount of pressure that he feels from this individual. So we were directing our criticism to the City of Vancouver because they aren't stopping this process from happening. So they, Councillor Kerry Jang from Vision Vancouver, he says not a single person's been displaced from the downtown east side, and it's such an offensive lie because we see it on the ground. I mean, the three of us, we're there. We live a block away from this place, and we know that this is happening in our community. We talk to the residents in the hotel, and we see the pressure unfolding. Like, this was us actually experiencing the pressure of rent eviction. And this is how it happens. It happens behind the scenes in a quiet back corner of a cafe. It happens in the bathroom of the York Hotel as somebody gets a comment from this guy is made to feel uncomfortable about living there. It happens in all these unseen ways, and there's no laws to protect people from experiencing this.
And then police were called to the scene. And can you tell us what happened then?
So the police came, we called them right away, and they told us women that were sitting there, as you will remember, they said, well, you have to do your part too and keep your distance from him. And we all reacted like, I actually started crying, and our other colleague got really upset and said, you've just told us that it was like we were being raped, and you told us to change what we're wearing. So we didn't feel supported by the police at all. And they told us, do you remember what else he said? I forget.
Well, I'll just ask you, Beatrice, all of us that were in the cafe live within one block of the cafe. And he did say that we were to keep our distance mm-hmm. from him. I mean, how do you feel about that? That this is your neighborhood?
I know. I feel it was a poor choice of words that he had, and pretty much, you know, the analogy that Wendy just did regarding rape. You know, we were at a public place, at a coffee house. You know that. Sitting inside, drinking coffee, and minding, you know, our own business. It was a private, you know, social gathering of four women, and we were inside, and he was the one outside. He was looking for us. He was looking inside the coffee house in which place exactly we were sitting, so to plan, you know, how he was going to approach us and destroy our property and terrify us. So what the police is saying, not only they owe us an apology, because, you know, under the freedom, under the Charter of Freedoms and Rights, we're free to come and go wherever we want. We have not committed any crimes. We have not harassed anybody. We're free citizens. And if we're going to go for coffee, we should go for coffee without the fear that this unbalanced man, the manager of the York Rooms, will come downstairs or will be on the street and will enter the coffee, because he terrified the coffee man. The girl was going like, did the police gonna do anything? Are they gonna take it? And we have to tell them no. She was shocked because she witnessed everything.
And then on that note, Wendy, earlier there was reporting of a protester who was charged with theft and assault. Do you want to explain that and how that compares to the incident that happened a few weeks ago with us at the coffee shop?
Okay, so at the Pigeon Restaurant, we've had a picket there for 6 months, and one of the young women was arrested by the police because the incident that happened.
Do you want to just explain briefly what the picket is about, just in case some of our listeners aren't familiar so they have the context?
So similar to the York, there's been people picketing out in front of high-end restaurants. And the reason we've been picketing is to try to draw attention to the connection between buildings like the York and with their high-end restaurants on the main level and the connection to displacement. So 6 months ago, we started a picket in front of a restaurant across from Pigeon Park, and they've converted the rooms upstairs into condos. And a young woman was involved she was arrested by the police. But what happened was the owner of the restaurant, similarly like the manager of this York Hotel, he provoked her he stole something from the picketers and he brought it into his restaurant.
It was a prop that he stole,
yeah,
right?
He stole the pickle, basically. It's a long story. He stole the prop, and then she tried to get it back through the back door because she could see it in the back, and the door was propped open. So they had a tussle over the back door. He pushed her. She pushed him to try to get in. She stole the bucket that he had that was propping up the back door. She got charged with theft, and she got charged with assault. And the police backed the owner up. Which to us is high irony and high injustice because, of course, at the York Hotel, when the tables were so obviously turned, it was just so obvious that we were not at fault for sitting there drinking coffee. And what the police officer said was there's two sides to every story. That was so insulting.
So what happened when you asked the police about pressing charges when we were attacked in the cafe?
So the police said that it would take too much time and they felt that it would be thrown out, so they didn't want to press charges. So since then, I've been trying to decide whether or not to do that myself, and might be pursuing a restraining order against this individual. Although, you know, I'm tempted to just avoid the place, which is wrong. As an activist, I should be there and should be able to advocate for the residents in that hotel, and I should be able to picket in front of a restaurant. It is legal for me to picket, and it's illegal, but what he did to us was illegal. So the tables, you can just see the unconscious biases of the police. You can see how that's playing itself out on the ground.
Yeah, can you maybe relate that in terms of your experience and how you felt the police reacted to you versus the people that you're advocating for and how that might play out in terms of their willingness to seek help from the police?
Oh, I hear all the time about how the police won't help tenants. Like if there's a dispute, they always side with the landlord. Always. Of course, we just experienced what that's like, and residents, they don't have the support overall of the police, especially in those hotels. They're always automatically considered guilty in some way. So, you know, we just got a small taste of that. I can't imagine how horrible it would be to live in one of these SROs with managers like this. I can't imagine. I would be depressed myself, and I would probably make the hideous choice to be homeless and sleep in a park.
Well, this has been an experience that has shaken all of us. Looking forward, what are your plans?
Well, looking forward, in a couple of months, the city of Vancouver is going to probably pass a 30-year plan for the downtown east side, which has really shockingly low housing targets for housing replacement. So I expect more homelessness and more angst and more conflict with the city of Vancouver and more conflict with the businesses and the managers that are converting this neighborhood and gentrifying this neighborhood. So I think we're in a in an interesting place right now, and I think in the future there's so much energy out there to fight gentrification. I think we'll end up with a new movement, a new group, some new tactics in the new year.
Well, Beatrice and Wendy, I understand this has been very difficult to talk about, so I thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Esther, for having us today.
And thanks, Esther, that you were there as a reporter, as an eyewitness to what happened. And, I mean, it's bringing our community together, all of us women, too. And women, we're going to be at the forefront of the struggle in the future.
And that was Red Eye Collective member Esther Sia. Earlier this week, she was speaking with local activists Wendy Peterson and Beatrice Osorio.